Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning, Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning.
Yep. Morning. Now, it's a bit of a grey Friday, but to warm people up, we are doing rap love songs.
That's right. Warm you up with some hip-hop loving. It's a funny category because, on the one hand, there was way more than I thought. But then, on the other hand, there wasn't a lot written about it except for playlists. You know, so people had grouped them together themselves as playlists, and there's lots of playlists on Spotify and various things. But it wasn't like a group of things that people were talking about or, you know, drawing lines around, you know, like, oh, this is the category. So it's, you know, I don't know what it is. It's not a genre. It's a phenomenon. It's a trend. Now, and the other funny thing is rap does tend to be, you know, got sort of a harsher masculinity. So to have like a more gentle masculinity. And the other thing I hadn't noticed so much, but a lot of the things talked about that rap and R&B were at odds, and R&B sort of had the love songs, and so rap sort of went the other direction. But we'll see in a lot of these, there's a lot of, you know, intermixing with R&B stars that will come and like sing the hooks or that sort of thing, and rappers will rap on it, or vice versa, they might rap on R&B songs. So I've only seen them ever united, but apparently there was a vibe, you know, at certain points of time. So yeah, let's get into some rap love. What do we want to play first?
It's really up to you. This is your
okay, let's play act two.
Okay, we're gonna start with The Roots in Common. Here we go, let's turn it up. Anyone catch The Roots when they were down here over summer? Apparently it was amazing. I had some friends that went along and they said they were just so good live. Now,
well, that's the cool thing about The Roots is they're an actual band.
Yes.
You know, we don't get that a lot in hip-hop. We tend to get, you know rappers, performers.
Rappers
and this is 1999. Yeah, that's right.
Now, how is the theme of love evolved in rap music from when things first began to now, Kirsten?
Well, one of the early ones, the old hip-hop heads will know, LL Cool J, I Need Love, is a very sparse track. So this is 1999. But this is a bit of a cheat, and I guess this is part of this story that I'm sort of telling today. The actual love of their life is hip-hop. So this isn't necessarily to a person of the opposite sex.
Okay, so they're not rapping about a person, they're rapping about a genre.
That's right, so it's hip-hop as a metaphor. And this kind of is from a collection of songs, because Common also has a rap, a track related to this called I Used to Love H-E-R. I wrote it down, hip-hop in its essence is real, that's H-E-R. So I Used to Love Her, that was 1994. And that's true. Say hip-hop, you're the love of my life. And then later, Erykah Badu has one. So this whole collective of them, they're all releasing this sort of trio of songs about hip-hop being their love. Yeah, Erykah Badu's was 2002.
I feel like in rap, the romantic metaphor to describe a relationship with hip-hop is quite a common thing. I feel like lots of rappers rap about loving rap.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it's sort of, it's been easy for me as like a scholar to go, oh, let me just write that down. You know, because like, thank you for telling me how you feel about that. It's not like I'm going to get an interview with Common myself anyway. But yeah, so explaining it. But yeah, having this metaphor of hip-hop as the love of your life, you know, it never lets you down. And, you know, seeing it on the streets of New York, it hit me in the heart. I met her when I was 10 years old. This also is a space where Common's sort of celebrating the good sides of hip-hop, you know, that it doesn't all have to be. It's a little bit anti sort of gangster rap, saying, you know, that she can take a bad turn. But, you know, sort of celebrating the sort of more Afrocentric rap. family. And these are also interesting. So Common is from Chicago, and the roots are from Philadelphia. So they're sort of, you know, other spaces than the sort of California and New York.
There's a bit of a tightrope that they got to walk when they're doing like an emotional or love ballad, right? Because they've obviously got street cred, which I think people try and maintain. But then obviously when you're slipping some emotional storytelling in there, it's a bit of a dance, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And that's why, I mean, these guys are from this sort of branch of hip hop where they're like, let's not be like that. You know, we can show our intellectual side and, you know, our softer side. That doesn't have to mean that you're not masculine or, you know, non-authentic. So it is a bit of a dig to some of the other rappers.
Do you have a favorite era of rap music, Kirsten? Are you like more of a golden era type rapper?
Well, yeah, I'm a bit biased. These tracks today are all from the 90s. I'm probably highlighting my bias here, but, you know, I make an effort, and I think a lot of people my age do, you know, you make an effort to keep up. I mean, yeah, probably everyone of my age does. If you have a genre that you like, you don't want to be stuck, and you know, it's like, God, I gotta listen to some new stuff and keep up with the kids. But also, I mean, I think this happened in rock, too. The audiences grow up with the artists, and so they end up keeping these old, you know, like with rock, you get like, you know, the Rolling Stones still going, you know, like, so like, sort of, which is ironic because like rock was predicated on youthfulness, and I think hip hop was a bit too. And then when we, you know, when we all grow up together and people are still 50 and 60 and they're performing live, you're like, can you leave some space for the 20-year-old?
Now, what are we going to hit next? What are we going to hit next?
Okay, let's do You're All I Need to Get By.
Hang on. Method Man and Mary J. Blige?
That's right.
There was heaps of versions of this, so hopefully this one is...
I know.
Do you know what?
It sounds like you got the right one.
I'm always like, who's my favorite member of the Wu-Tang Clan? And I would quite often just go to GZA, but then when I hear Method Man, I'm like, wow, Method Man is pretty good. And also Mary J. Blige.
That's a good get-to-know-you question. Mm. We should recommend that to people on their speed dating.
First date? Who's your favorite member of the Wu-Tang Clan?
Right. That's right.
Wu-Tang. Method Man, eh? A real girl is me in your world, believe me. Nothing make a man feel better than a woman. Queen with a crown that be down for whatever. There were few things that's forever, my lady. We can make now, Kirsten, in your wisdom, are there any notable differences in how male and female rappers approach love songs?
Well, okay, so this one is an actual love song. Some of the love songs I was trying to look through the list are not super loving. They're goofy, like there's Biz Markie's Just a Friend and Benita Applebaum. Or some that are a bit, you know, kind of raunchy, sexualized. And this one's an actual love song. And then, you know, women rappers, you get the sort of Salt and Pepper, you know, objectification ones. And then you get sort of the Lauryn Hill deep ones. But the weird thing about this, this answered a big question for me because, so Mary J. Blige, an amazing R&B singer, but she gets called the queen of hip hop or hip hop soul a lot. And I'm like, what? And apparently on this song and a lot of her songs, she featured rappers. And that's why even though she's not rapping, she gets counted as like a hip hop artist. Yeah, so that was cool because I was like, you know, she performs with hip hop artists, but yeah, oh my gosh, here's another rabbit hole I went on. As one of the things said, she was the queen of hip hop soul, and I clicked on it. It took me to a website called Honorific Nicknames, and at first I thought it was Horrific Nicknames, but anyway, it was a whole list of all these weird honorifics we give, you know, the queen of soul, the king of pop, all through, maybe we'll have to do a show on it, all through, you know, popular music, people that get these, like, titles. And who gives them to him? You know, obviously it's like just the press or whatever. Anyway, that was a cool rabbit hole. So also this song is based on a Marvin Gaye 1968 track, Girl, I Need to Get By. And one of the things also said, it's an example of thug love duets. Heartwarming yet chilling. It also references a Diana Ross song, Girl, I Need to Get By.
Would you say that this particular track is a bit of a milestone as far as, you know, rap and love songs?
Oh, absolutely. It was number one on a lot of people's list of best hip-hop love songs. It was a big, huge seller. You know, so, like, it was popular. It's not, like, an obscure track or anything. And it kind of set the tone for these other duet sort of songs, like Ja Rule and Ashanti. There's Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, New York. It was a love song to New York. But, yeah, so it sort of set the vibe, this duet sort of thing going on. And I think it was Method Man's biggest single. So, you know, all the stuff he did, this was, you know, I guess because it is more mediated with the R&B, you know, with the singing.
I mean, he's got some great verses on this as well. It's just like, yeah.
But I still like that explanation, heartwarming yet chilling. It's got a really haunting sort of discordant minor key thing going. So it's not like a happy, peppy love song, you know?
How would you, I mean, do you have much of a handle on how a song like this was received at the time when it came out within the rap community? Did it challenge a few stereotypes about rap music?
No, I think Mary J. Blige had so much respect that they brought her into the community and included her. You know, there's the elements of hip hop and there's like different debates, you know, like Fifth Element, the Sixth Element, and I know there has been a time, you know, about singing, including it or not, and I guess distinguishing itself from R&B, but yeah, this was an era where it really brought it together. And now I don't know who's the producer on that mix, because remember we were looking at different mixes. I know RZA did one.
Versions. Yeah, there's heaps of versions.
Yeah, and Puffy did one, and I don't want to support Puffy right now, but so I apologize if that ended up being the Puffy one. But apparently the Puffy one, he didn't even produce it. Another group called Trackmasters actually did it, and they tried to sue him later for it. But anyway, so that's a different story. No. Oh, I know.
What are we going to hit last? What's our last one?
Okay, our last one is more what you would expect. It's not as romantic. It's not as actual loving. So this is Notorious B.I.G. It's got his wife, Faith Evans, singing on it. So this is 1995, around the same sort of era. But this was big top of the charts. But yeah, it's got a little sort of ruder element, but yeah, I'm sure you've got the clean version here.
I don't have the clean version. We're R18 this morning.
Oh, great. A couple of remixes of this, too. It's based on the 1983 Al DeBarge R&B track.
Now, do you reckon there's regarding like the musical elements here, Dr. Kirsten Zemke, our regular ethnomusicologist contributor, like what are we talking, chords, tempos, samples? Are there any particular elements in that regard that give these tracks their romantic charge or warm quality?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, you get a R&B track that you enjoy, and you, your DJ, whatever, your producer, you know, grabs that a chunk with no singing on it, and then that's how you create your rap bed for singing, and anyone could do that, and so that's how a rapper would then, you know, start laying some verbs over the top of this instrumental version, and then yeah, later you would decide to create a chorus either similar or different from what was originally in that track. So it's a really easy way to create a backing for yourself if you're trying to write a song, because, you know, find this instrumental section of the song you like. And it's slower, you know, it's got a more chill vibe. Now, what I don't know is if you're DJing a night and you bring on a song like this, does it bring the vibe down? Is it too slow to dance to? I don't know if it's romantic enough to do it as like your last song for a slow dance. So yes, I haven't been out DJing this myself to know how this plays out.
I reckon it's a smoky kind of cocktail bar. This would go down quite well. Some nice couches.
Yeah, but would it bring, if it, yeah, that's right. Biggie's just got such an awesome, distinctive voice, you know? And he left us too soon. So, like, you know, most of his tracks, you know, we just treated like sort of gems, you know, because he didn't get to have that lifetime body of work, you know? See, I'm swimming in the women like the breaststroke. So, you know, he's sort of saying, I got so many babes. So this isn't as romantic as others, but it's an example because there were a lot like this. So it's quite, you know, it's typical of a certain type. And then here's his woman's actually singing on it, and he's doing all this bragging. But, you know, actually, I've written whole chapters on this. The bragging part of it is sort of humor and exaggeration and hyperbole.
And
you know?
I guess it's definitely, I don't know, it has kind of stuck around, but it definitely is of the era that it's in, you know?
Yeah, and it's about, you know, because rap originated in rap battles. Hmm. And so you do exaggerate it. I got this, I did that, I have 20 cars. And, you know, that people in the community, in the know at the time, know it's just words, you know, nobody actually has that. Hmm. But yeah, I think outsiders, you know, think, oh, man, that's very materialistic, or that's very,
sounds pretty,
you know,
notorious.
Egotistical, yeah, that's right. But that is part of the sort of humor and wordplay. And, you know, some of them compared it, well, it's even like gangster rap. People compare it to, like, no, it's like a gangster movie. It's a fantasy of being super tough and super cool that, you know, young men and sometimes women, you know, have as play acting, you know. I mean, look how many films we have, you know, where people with guns shooting, you know, it's just a thing people enjoy as sort of, you know, to play out their fantasies. It's not, people aren't really going to go do these things.
Yes. Hey, Dr. Kirsten Zemke, that's all we've got time for this morning. Hey, thank you so much for Travelling Tunes.
Okay.
This is my last week at the helm here. So you're going to have
That's a real shame.
You're going to have some cool new people, some new hosts as of next Friday, or they'll be here on Monday, but you'll be speaking to a new team next week. Hey, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure to chat with you each week. What a great feature. And thank you so much.
All right, bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.